You are listening to the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. I know many of you have been waiting patiently for part one of Green Flags in a Godly Relationship. Thank you so much for being extremely patient with me. I have so much going on in my life right now. I'm in the midst of a transition, and I needed to get along with God so I can hear specific instructions that He's in the way that He's guiding me. And I'm still in a place of listening to the Lord. And so usually when God calls me to Himself, I distance myself from friends and acquaintances, and also draw back from social media because I need to hear clearly from the Lord. And so getting this podcast out has taken the back seat because it hasn't been a priority in the past couple weeks, probably a month or so, that the Lord has been speaking to me as it relates to a upcoming transition. Nonetheless, I want to thank you guys for being supportive and being patient. Please go listen to the intro. It's important to listen to the intro because that's going to give you some context as to where I'm going. I'm talking about green flags. You hear about the red ones all the time. Things that you should look for or be aware of as it relates to a boyfriend, a girlfriend, etc. But you don't hear much about the green flags. The things that will, signs that point you in the God direction. The God direction is the right direction that two are headed in, that God has authorized the courtship or relationship that you are currently in. Or if you are engaged, this podcast can apply to you as well, because there are green flags, whether you're courting, you engage, maybe even married. This message might be applicable to you. So let's find out. Let's get into the heart of this message. I want to pray first, as I always do. Again, thank you so much for being patient with me and giving me time to listen to the Lord so I can get this podcast out to you, this message. Green flags and a godly relationship. Jesus, thank you so much for your gift of wisdom, for your spirit of counsel. Thank you so much, God, for your word. It is filled with so much revelation that spills over into our daily lives. And your word is something that we can practice and apply to our very lives. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your love and your sacrifice for dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus, thank you so much for being compassionate and gentle with us. Even when you correct and rebuke us, you are gentle, yet firm in your word and your decisions. And you are your decision making is right and it's just. You are fear. There's nothing condemning about you. So thank you. Even your conviction by your Holy Spirit is a sign of an expression of your grace, your love, and your mercy. And Jesus, I just pray that you will open up the hearts of those who are listening to this message. I pray that you will speak through me, that you will fill the words that will leave my mouth with your spirit and with your love and revelation. I pray that those who are listening will come to a place of understanding and peace and rest and assurance in you and how you're guiding them, especially in the area of courtship in the area of love. Thank you so much for never leaving us or forsaking us. Even when we make the wrong decisions and we get it wrong, Lord, you're still there to pull us back on the right path and to draw us back into the center of your will. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you. And it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's get into this message. As I was praying, I felt the presence of the Lord. And I hope you did or will at some point in this message or after. So there's some key points. So hopefully I can get through all of them. But there's going to be more than one part of green flags in the godly relationship. It is pretty late where I am, so I need to get some sleep. So I got to get up early in the morning. So if I don't end up finishing getting through all of the points, there will definitely be a second part to this. So green flags in a godly relationship. One of the first things that I want to bring to your attention, that you are headed in a God direction. And this is so important and key, especially when it comes to courtship and spending your time with someone. And, you know, when it comes to being in a relationship, I get the question all the time. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit, I wouldn't say irritating to answer this question. I don't mind answering it at all. But each time that I answer, it becomes a lot more clearer to me as to why I'm single. Of course, you can be in a relationship probably yesterday if you wanted to. I'm pretty sure you got some secret admirer, someone who is smitten by you and they love what they see on the surface. They know that you are a God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman, that you love the word, you love the Lord. You are a good catch. However, right, I'm single and I'm content and filled with the love of Christ. And because I'm content and filled with the love of Christ, I am not desperate. And of course, there are moments where I'm like, where is my Proverbs 31 woman? I think any man who has a desire to get married and they are single and have been single for quite some time, that thought crosses their mind. Interesting enough, at the gym this evening, met a Christian brother and you know, I was asking him for prayer, and one of the things that I asked him for prayer was, you know, for the Lord to lead me to my wife. And he was like, man, I'm single too, you know, pray for me too. So we, you know, that's an opportunity. We had an opportunity to fellowship and also to pray, and but also to pray specifically for a wife. But I said, you know, that I'm content and filled with the love of Christ, and therefore I'm not desperate. Although those thoughts of being, of finding my wife do cross my mind, I'm not desperate or lonely. I'm filled. Why? Because I'm filled with the love of Christ. And so one of the first things that I want to point out to you, if you are courting someone right now, you are in a relationship. One of the green flags that you're probably experiencing or you will encounter in the near future is that you want to meet someone, and you're going to meet someone and you're not going to feel like you are in each other's life to replace Christ. Like you want to be with each other, but you don't need each other to feel love because you're filled with the love of Christ. And this will eliminate clinginess. obsessiveness or possessive behavior. And because you're filled with the love of Christ, you both understand that you didn't meet each other to replace Jesus in your life. And when you have a relationship with someone, there's unhealthy attachments, and there's a healthy attachment. And attachments that are healthy is when the person can become, they'll smother you. They will want to take up all of your time, so much so that it doesn't leave you time to spend time in God's word, and also to spend time in prayer and to spend time with the Lord. But when you are with someone who is content and filled with the love of Christ, they will not take offense to the personal time that you use to spend it with the Lord. And because they are filled with the love of Christ, there's going to be some understanding that your relationship with Jesus comes first. Now, you imagine two people coming together in a courtship relationship, and both individuals are filled with the love of Christ. And when they are not speaking or talking to one another at any given time, because they're spending time with the Lord or they're, you know, fellowship with other believers or part of a faith community, and they're doing their thing and their personal walk with the Lord, that relationship is more balanced and whole. It's not clingy, obsessive, or possessive. But there's a mutual understanding that your relationship with Jesus comes first, and you didn't meet each other to replace who Jesus is in your life. So that's one of the green flags in the God relationship, is that you don't need each other to feel loved. It's not to say that you're not going to feel love when you're with someone. You should feel that. You should feel loved, not just in an emotional way, but also in a spiritual and intellectual way. But you're not in. God is not going to send someone in your life to replace him. Because couples who often put one another first above God, or one person is making that person the priority, and their relationship with Christ begin to, you know, slack a bit, that's called idolatry. And you never want to find yourself in that type of relationship where your personal relationship with the Lord begins to fade and deteriorate. Another indicator that you, another green flag in the godly relationship, and I love this because I've experienced this quite a few times, and not just in romantic situations, but also just in platonic friendships, is that you're quick to forgive and resolve conflicts. Now, I have a scripture that I want to read. I always want to incorporate scriptures into my messages, because a relationship should be biblically based. And, you know, you should, if you're going to be talking about godly relationship, you should have scripture to support and validate what you are trying to get across, or however the Spirit of the Lord leads you to craft the message. And this scripture is coming from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. And this is the New King James Version. I'll probably try to read the Amplified Version next. Colossians 3:16, the New King James Version. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts. I read the wrong verse. Let's go back. We're still going to be in Colossians 3, but it's verse 12. So Colossians 3, verse 12, not verse 16. My apologies for that. So Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Doesn't that echo 1 Corinthians 13? If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So with Colossians 3:12 in mind, another green flag in a godly relationship is that you are quick to forgive and resolve conflicts. I say all the time that conflicts are inevitable. You're going to have maybe some slight misunderstandings, or you might have a disagreement on certain things, which is okay because as human beings, we don't always agree. But however, we should be able to come to agreement, in agreement with God's word. And that's another point that I plan to make as a green flag. But the second point is that you're quick to forgive and resolve conflicts. And this is, as I read in Colossians 3:12, is that when you are with someone that you're equally yoked with, you are quick to forgive and resolve conflicts. Why? Because you see value. You see value and meaning in the relationship and in each other. Then there's like a great level of respect, of always wanting to admonish and honor one another, and also give each other the opportunity to explain yourself so you can be understood. And that takes a forgiving heart and a listening heart, rather a listening ear, to be able to forgive and to resolve conflicts, because you realize that you have something so special that doesn't come easily. Like when you find someone who is special and they are what your heart desires, they are what you prayed for, you're readily to forgive and resolve whatever mishap that you have so that you can move forward. But when a person doesn't want to forgive and they're slow on resolving a conflict, and some people can know the truth of what happened, yet they still don't want to forgive or resolve the conflict. And when that happens, that means that person may not see you or the relationship as something that's worthy of being special. Something that's worthy of, that's rare and hard to find. I know in my heart that when I come across that woman that God has for me, I'm going to be quick to forgive and to work through whatever issues and conflicts that may arise. And conflicts that you have isn't always a bad thing. I kind of look at things from a positive and optimistic perspective, where this is an opportunity to understand where someone is coming from and what their thought process is like. And you may come to find why they think the way they think. This could be an opportunity. Conflicts is an opportunity to learn something about a person, maybe something that they have experienced in life or in a past relationship that has helped them, you know, formulate a way of thinking that they operate in. And this could be an opportunity to point them to God's word so that you can help them resolve or come to an agreement of God's word that this is what the word of God is saying, and it's in opposition to how you're responding to this issue or conflict. And this wasn't a point that I explicitly have written out, but another green flag in a God relationship is that you go to the word of God to resolve conflicts and issues rather than talking about it out of the, you know, the experience of your heart, because our heart doesn't always align with God's word. And one way to settle conflicts and issues is to go to the word of God. What is the word of God saying about this topic? What is the Holy Spirit saying through the scripture? Because when God speaks, and this is something that I have said maybe two or three times recently to someone, when God speaks and answers your prayers about someone, whether if that individual is the one or not, when God speaks, his word settles everything. In other words, when God gives you the okay to move forward with someone, it's settled, meaning that there's nothing else to continue rehashing and talking about and trying to discern and figure out if you're the one for each other. When God says yes, you're going to have that peace, and it's going to be settled, meaning that you don't have to go back around the mountain revisiting something that you felt that, you know, you didn't hear from God. But when God speaks, it's settled. If he says that you're not the one for each other, and his will is no, it's settled. There's nothing that you can debate or further explain when God says yes or when he says no. But a green flag in a God relationship is that you are ready to forgive. You are ready and eager to resolve conflicts. The third point that I want to make to you, and this is so good, because not everyone has this quality. A green flag in a God relationship is that you both are teachable. You have a teachable spirit. And it takes humility to have a teachable spirit, because not everyone wants to be taught. Not everyone listens with an open heart and with an open mind. Not everyone is flexible in their thinking, that they're willing to hear another aspect of the truth. Whether it be about God's word, revelation, or just a general topic in life, that whatever it is that you when you're talking to someone who has a teachable spirit, that means that they're willing to listen and to hear and understand where you're coming from. And even when it comes to, you know, reading God's word together, you know, before I read God's word, I always pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, because I don't want to impress my personal thoughts and opinions and perspective on God's word. I don't want to try to figure out and try to interpret what the word of God is saying when I have the Holy Spirit to teach me. Therefore, like, when I go to the Holy Spirit, I'm communicating to him that I want to be taught, and that I have a teachable spirit. And when you are with someone who is, you know, quick to forgive, but they're also quick to understand and have clarity of where you're coming from, that means that you have a teachable spirit. And when you both have a teachable spirit, that makes the relationship, it's like oil to an engine. It makes everything, having a teachable spirit makes everything run smoothly in your courtship, in your relationship. and that you're willing to and invest in each other and listen to one another, and listen to what God has placed inside of that person, and vice versa. And when you have a teachable spirit, my next point is that you can respect where you are in Christ or wherever you are in your spiritual walk. And this is the scripture that I want to read for those 2 points. And now we're going to move to Colossians 3:16. And it reads, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Verse 17, "Whatever you do in a word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." When you have respect, when you respect where the person you're courting, you respect where they are in Christ, and their respect and that respect is mutual and vice versa, there is so much room. You leave room to admonish one another, to honor one another. And to, you know, and also to come, and just because like you may not be in the same place spiritually doesn't mean that you can't fellowship. Does not mean you can't pray together and sing hymns and praise God and worship him together. Doesn't mean that you can't, come together and talk about the things of God. And again, this ties into having a teachable spirit where you are willing to listen to one another's experiences and encounters with the Lord. And when you respect where you are in Christ, it leaves less room for arrogance. It leaves less room to be demeaning or condescending towards one another, because that person doesn't understand where you're at in Christ and haven't experienced the things that you have. When you respect one another in Christ and you respect each other's spiritual walk, that enables you to still be equally yoked. And you're able to, you know, to walk together in agreement, which ties into my other point, is that you are in agreement with God's word. And this is the scripture that I have for that, which is Amos 3:3. But when you respect one another where you are in Christ, you leave room for that person to grow. However, there are some couples who are beating each other up because the person is not where they're at spiritually, and they're talking over them or speaking down on them. Like, that's not the love of Christ. That's not the love of God. And whenever you find yourself in a relationship where you are being belittled and trampled on, it's going to make you feel like how the enemy feels about you. You're going to start to feel condemned, unworthy, or incompetent. Like, you don't know enough. You should know enough. No, Jesus has you exactly where you are. However, on the other side of the spectrum, I mean, there are individuals who don't have a desire to grow in Christ. They don't have a need or a passion or an urgency to want to know more of God's word. Like, there is no zeal to know more about who Jesus Christ is, why he died for our sins, and why they even given their life to him to begin with. But a green flag, a green flag in relationship is that you respect where you are in Christ, and you respect where that person is at spiritually. And I want to emphasize this point again. You do not have to be on the same spiritual level to be equally yoked. Because you may meet your husband and he might be well seasoned in the things of God. Or you might meet your wife and she might be more disciplined than you are when it comes to the things and the word of God. Does not make her superior over you, does not make you superior over her. Because when you are filled, to my first point, when you are filled with the love of Christ, you're going to respect one another. You're going to admonish one another. You're going to lift each other up and support one another with songs and hymns and kind of building and encouraging each other up, that you feel like you're both making progress and you're striving in the things of God. And to my next point, finding that scripture, I think it's Amos 3. Yes, so it's Amos 3, verse 3. And I've used this scripture in prior messages. But the word of God, it can, you find yourself going back to the same scripture because there is so much revelation in God's word. But another green flag in a godly relationship, and this is so important, my people. So important. It's so important to be with someone who is in agreement with God's word. Not in agreement with you, but in agreement with God's word. Because when you come together with someone who agrees with God's word, and you are in agreement with God's word, that makes you equally yoked. It makes you compatible to even to have certain relationships about the Lord. And even how you, in terms of your lifestyle, how you live life, what you do in your daily walk. Because there are persons who are not in agreement with God's word, and their lifestyle reflects just that. I said to someone once, it's hard to fake your relationship with Christ. Why? Because your lifestyle, there's going to be evidence of the fruit of what type of relationship with God that you have, and there's going to be evidence and fruit of whether someone is in agreement with God's word or they're not. But when you come together with someone who stands with God's word, it makes things so much easier. It makes the relationship less complicated, less conflictive. And it leaves room to be misunderstood, or to misunderstand God's, or misinterpret God's word. It's like Amos 3:3 is like spiritual compatibility. Can two walk together unless they agree? How can you walk with someone when you are disagreeing with God's word? There is something fundamentally wrong about that when someone is not in agreement with God's word. And when you begin to ask a person certain questions of why they disagree with God's word, more than likely, you're going to discover a personal preference of how one feels about God's word. See, how you feel about God's word and what God's word says don't always align. Always keep that in mind, that how you feel about God's word and what God's word says doesn't always align. Because the heart and your feelings can be deceptive. And you can find yourself stumbling out of God's will and his ways and his word because of how you feel about God's word. And I want to get to my last point, because I'm going to close this message out and I'll just have to continue on. I'm going to read a quote. One of my quotes that I posted on the gram. I hope you're enjoying this message, by the way. So let me pull it up. And this is a message that I directed towards men and women in Christ. And the other parts that I want to do, I'm going to talk about green flags as relates to a godly man. So ladies, if you are, you know, pursuing someone, you're talking to a godly man, there's some green flags that you need to know. That's going to give you peace and confirmation that this is a man that God has for you. All right, let me get it out. Okay, I think I have it now. Okay, I got the I have the quote, and it reads: "Men and women in Christ, you shouldn't be a wife to a man who's not your husband. Neither should you expect a man to love you in a way that's reserved for his wife. Love with boundaries. Agree on mutual grounds of limitations. This is wisdom. Most importantly, don't invest until you hear God say yes." I'm going to read this quote again, then I'm going to break it down for you. Listen closely. Men and women in Christ, you shouldn't be a wife to a man who's not your husband. Neither should you expect a man to love you in a way that's reserved for his wife. Love with boundaries. Agree on mutual grounds of limitations. This is wisdom. Most importantly, don't invest until you hear God say yes. A green flag. Another green flag. I think this is the fifth one. Actually, it's the sixth point. Another green flag in a godly relationship is that you have boundaries and mutual grounds, meaning that you have come into agreement that we aren't going to surpass or cross this line that's in the sand that's going to taint and tarnish what God made beautiful. I'm not sure if I can say that again. But a green flag in a godly relationship is that you both have set boundaries and you have mutual grounds of limitations, that you have both drawn the line in the sand that you cannot surpass. Why? Because you're going to taint and tarnish what God made beautiful. And I'm going to add this time, holy. So we break this down. You shouldn't be a wife to a man. So in other words, my sisters in Christ, you should not be doing things that a wife would do for her husband. Pretty sure you're probably looking for an example. Like, what do you mean by that? Because there are levels of sacrifice. There are levels of intimacy. Things that you would do with your husband that you shouldn't do with your boyfriend. And the obvious is, of course, it can be intimate and having sex, because that is reserved for marriage. And my sisters in Christ, whenever a man tries to bait you, corner you, woo you, romance you, and tries to create an environment by doing a plethora of things to kind of swoon you in and soften your heart to win you over. See, God can win you over to get you in bed, or he can win you over so that he can continue to court you God's way. But my sisters in Christ, you should not extend yourself or lend yourself in a way that you would to your husband. That you should not give your body to a man who's not your husband. You should not be paying his bills. You are not his wife. You are his girlfriend. You can support him and maybe help him or spot him if he's in that dire need of help and he has no one but you. And obviously he should, you know, pay you back. But you shouldn't be paying a man's bills. That type of giving should be for marriage. You should not be putting yourself last in this relationship. Because obviously in a marriage you put each other first. But when it comes to a regular relationship and courtship, there are certain things that you should not be doing when you're putting yourself last. You should not be putting your dreams aside for a boyfriend. You should not relocate to another city or state for your boyfriend unless you know in your heart that God has ordained this relationship and he's orchestrating and moving things around in your life so that you can be in the same place. And this goes for men too, because I've talked to people who have moved to another city or state for someone and that relationship didn't work out. You never want to do that. I don't care how much you're in love. If there's no ring on your finger and it's not official and God hasn't stamped it with this piece of approval, you should not be moving anywhere. You should not be living together if you are not married. My sisters in Christ, you should not be moving in with your boyfriend. Men in Christ, you should not be moving in with your girlfriend. You are not married. These are things that are reserved for a husband and a wife. And my sisters, you can't expect a man to love you in a way that's reserved for his wife. And this goes for men too. You should be paying your girlfriend's bills. She should be able and capable to do that for herself. And again, there's nothing wrong with helping each other out in a relationship. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes people do fall on rough times and they don't have no one else but you or their significant other. And your significant other, because your significant other loves you and cares about you, and that person is not just your significant other, but also your friend. You help that person out. And if that individual has the ability to repay you for, you know, whatever it is that you've given them, they should do it. But there are certain things that's only reserved for marriage that you should not extend yourself. There should be a boundary and a limitation that you both come to through prayer and God's word that you say to one another, we're not going to cross this line in the sand.
And when you are with someone who is in agreement, when you're with someone who's in agreement with God's word, they're going to be in agreement with having boundaries. And I've made mistakes in past relationships where I have crossed boundaries and it tainted and deteriorated that relationship. And there was a regret, and I saw it coming, because the Spirit of the Lord will warn you before you make a mistake. And even with sharing my experiences that God has allowed me to turn it for wisdom, it's so important to set boundaries in your relationship so that you keep, you keep things holy and sacred and pure. This is wisdom. And the last part of this quote is that you don't want to invest until you hear God says yes. I'm sorry, you cannot go alone on your emotions as a means of investing in the person. It got to be something more than how you feel about someone. There's someone that's always going to like you in a matter of seconds or in a matter of minutes, and the next week they move on to the next person. Why? Because a person is being led by the emotions and they're not being led by the Spirit. And when you are filled with the love of Christ, it's easy to see that and detect that in others, as well as yourself. But a green flag in a godly relationship is that your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, they want to have boundaries in a relationship. Because why? You're special. And you mean the world to them. And ladies, let me throw this out there. Something, for you to keep in mind. Is that when a man truly loves you, and he's into you, the thought of having sex is not going to cross his mind. That's not to say that he's not going to be sexually attracted to you, or he's not going to find you beautiful or physically appealing. But don't you know that physical attraction doesn't always translate to sex or someone wanting to have sex with you? When a man sees you as special, meaning that he sees you as a wife, he's not going to want to be intimate with you in that way. He's going to communicate boundaries that you two need to have, and perhaps for his own purity, he's going to communicate in voice like, hey, I am not strong in this area. We don't need to be in this this particular setting at this specific time. He's gonna communicate things, that areas that he might be weak in, as well as you, so you both can understand each other's weaknesses, so you can be strong for each other, so that you can hold each other accountable with God's word. And men in Christ, when you're with a woman who loves you and who sees you as a God-fearing man, a woman who sees you as a husband, and although she might think you are the world to her and that you are the best-looking man that she has ever laid eyes on, she's going to hold herself accountable to God's word so that she doesn't cross that boundaries that would taint and tarnish what God has made beautiful and holy with you too. And that will, I'm going to bring this message to an end because it is getting late. I will try to have part two out as soon as possible, as soon as things settle down in my life. But I do pray that you got something from this message. I really do pray that you have. Please follow me on Instagram. If you're not following me, you're listening to this message and you found it maybe from someone sharing it. It's IM_MELVINDAVIS. It's IM_MelvinDavis. And I'm also active on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook by my first and last name, Melvin Davis. Also, if you haven't read my book, Healed for Love, it's available on Amazon and iBooks. It's also available if you are outside of the U.S. You can go on my Instagram page and click on my Linktree link, and you will find the other platforms that you can purchase my novel from. But my novel, Healed for Love, the characters do discuss boundaries. Don't you know that love has boundaries? Yes, love has boundaries. When a love is true and real in a relationship, it has boundaries. When a love is true and real in a relationship, there's respect. When a love is true and it's real, there's a teachable spirit. When a love is true and real, there is forgiveness and resolve. When a love is true in a godly relationship, you're filled with the love of Christ. You're not clingy, obsessive, or possessive. You are in agreement with God's word, and you respect where you are in Christ. When you have all these green flags, it's pointing you in the God direction, and you have the peace of Christ which passes all understanding. And I want to pray for you right now. If you are in a relationship and those green flags, the things that I've just discussed, they are resonating with you. They are confirming some things with you. I want to praise God with you. Because as your heart is filled with joy, so is mine. And I can celebrate you in my singleness because I know one day, like myself and many other men and women in Christ, in God's appointed time, He will reveal or unveil. Maybe you already met this person and maybe it wasn't at the right time. There's an open letter that I have shared with a lot of my sisters in Christ and also with persons who aren't believers. There's an open letter that I wrote to my future wife, and this is, and I share this with everyone who I've listened to this letter, is that writing this letter wasn't something that it was my idea. It's not something that I'm going to sit down and write a letter to my future wife. It didn't happen like that. Writing the letter, it didn't happen like that. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came over me and the words began to flow. And the reason why I'm bringing up this letter, because it goes back to what I just, the comment that I made about God's timing. I mentioned in the letter that God's timing is perfect and that we'll find each other soon. And there is no rush. There's absolutely no rush when you are in the will of God and you are moving to the flow and pace of His will and His Spirit. In God's timing, you're going to meet that person again. Some of you have already met the love of your life, but it wasn't the right time. Why? Because you might be healing. This is something that I mentioned in the letter as well, and this is, and the Holy Spirit giving me this letter. Sorry that I'm speaking a little bit further. I wanted to conclude this message, but I feel I need to say this. But and God, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. But in this letter, okay, I know what I want to say now. But in this letter, it was very prophetic in a lot of ways. Because I, as the Spirit of God, gave me the words, and one of the things that I said, that He's perfecting me, that He's preparing me to be a godly husband, and God is still preparing me. And I mentioned about healing. I was going through a process of healing while writing that letter. That's why it's prophetic in so many ways. And I said in my devotional message this afternoon that I posted, is that God is not going to give you something that you're not prepared for. He's not going to give you something that you're going to lose, or that He wants you to lose. He's not going to give you something that's going to overwhelm you in a way that you're not going to be able to handle it. Some of you are still singles because God is still preparing you, perfecting you for it. And He wants you to be healed and soul tie free and mentally and emotionally available and spiritually mature. God wants you to be pursuing Him when He brings the love of your life into your life. And so, again, if this message resonates with you, you are in a courtship, I'm praising God with you, and my heart is filled with joy as well as I know yours is. And if you are still waiting, I want to encourage you to continue to wait, and don't allow loneliness push you to entertain people that you wouldn't if you were filled with the love of Christ. Jesus, thank you so much for this message. Thank you so much for using me. I pray that your words have touched minds and hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that the next message will be also filled with your Spirit and wisdom, and that you will comfort, and that you will reassure that those who are currently in the courtship, that these green flags that you're bringing to their attention is cementing the peace in their hearts. I love you, Jesus. I honor you. I praise you and I worship you. And I will always keep you first. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate you. Again, you're welcome to share this message if it has touched your heart, and if you feel it would be beneficial to someone else. God bless you.